We read that's a wonderful passage of Scripture from the Psalms and goes along with what Sonny put on the board for us this morning. And I saw that and I said, well, we're just going to read that today. And Sonny, again, thank you for every week coming and doing that for us. And certainly God's Scripture is what grounds us and on which we stand and obtain our blessings from God. So thank you for that as we meditate day and night on the Word of God and on His great truths. It's great to see everybody this morning. We're going to recognize and present a Bible to a special young man. And Rob, I was thinking as we were talking about baptism this morning, we have an abundance of water, but Isaac, it's not always warm, is it, buddy? It can be a little cool at times, but I want Isaac to come up. We have a Bible for him. Isaac was baptized Wednesday night before last. We could just teach that young man to smile. We'd have something going. But we're going to talk this morning from Mark chapter 5. It's a story actually in three of the Gospels. But we're going to talk about Jairus' daughter, about the healing of Jairus' daughter. We'll read this passage together. We're going to read it because there actually is the healing of the woman who touched Jesus' garment in the midst of the two passages, so you're going to see that what we read will not be, there'll be a skip in some of the verses, and that's what's not there. You remember the woman who just wanted to touch Jesus, and Jesus talks with her, which is a great event in the life of Jesus, just not the one we're going to talk about. But the story, the beginning and the end of the story of the healing of Jairus' daughter is on either side of that passage, and we're going to read that. You're going to find out in the passage that Jairus is ruler of the synagogue. And so you'll remember Nicodemus, who actually is a person who believes in Jesus. Actually, as we talked about a few weeks back, was part with Joseph of Arimathea, who is the more well-known of the group, who claimed the body of Jesus after his crucifixion and prepared it for burial. But what we understand is that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And we're not sure whether he was just afraid or it was just most convenient, but you got to get the impression that he was coming to Jesus because he was interested, but it was tough in the position that he was in to be forward and out front coming to Jesus. But here we have the leader of the synagogue who's going to have pressure in his position more than most who are coming to Jesus. And the reason is because his daughter is terribly, deathly sick. And we're going to pick up then and read in the fifth chapter of the Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus again had crossed over, and we're talking about the Sea of Galilee, had crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there, seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. I want to stop there for a moment and kind of make the first of just two points that I want to make this morning. Jairus comes to Jesus because Jesus has been healing. And in these passages, we're going to see lots of healings coming together. But Jairus is coming. Would Jairus have come under normal situations? The Scripture doesn't really tell us. But probably had been paying attention, but felt the tensions and the pressures about Jesus and what he was teaching and what he was doing. Probably not. Probably had been observing Jesus a little bit from afar. Although he's in the Galilee, a little bit removed from the pressure in Judea. Because in Judea is where Jerusalem is. Give you a little bit of a background. We would say things in Washington, D.C. are a little bit different than they are here. Right? You know, we kind of talk about being in the Beltway, right? Y'all all understand what that means. Well, being in Jerusalem, the pressure's there because that's where the Sanhedrin would have met and the high priest would have been and the temple would have been different than they were in Galilee. However, there's still a large connection, and what goes on in Jerusalem certainly affects religiously what goes on in the Galilee as well. But the Galilee is going to be more rural, more agrarian, and the fishing society and less into all of the pressures that are going on in Jerusalem and in Judea. But still, being a part of the synagogue and being an official in the synagogue, Jairus is going to feel that pressure because, you know, we've got the leaders in Jerusalem testing Jesus, plotting against Jesus, and so he's going to know those pressures. However, he's going to come to Jesus, and he's not only going to come to him, he's going to fall at his feet. And that's an important statement. Jairus falls at his feet. He is humbling himself before Jesus. So not only is he coming to him, but he's humbling himself before Jesus. And why is that? Why is he doing this? Because my daughter, my little girl, is dying. And so for Jairus, all the other pressures become secondary. The thought that he might be persecuted for this, that he might lose his position, not only within the synagogue, but possibly even within the community. Because we know that happens, right? Because we've got the newer Gentile churches taking up a collection, and this is going to be some years later, for the church of Jerusalem. Why? Because those who were following Jesus had been ostracized economically and socially from their community. And so they are being helped because they are being persecuted for their belief. And so Jairus has to feel those pressures and know they're going on. But at this point, his daughter is dying. And he knows, he has faith that Jesus can heal his daughter. And so he's not worried about any of the other repercussions. He is only concerned about the healing of his daughter. And all of us who are parents, I don't even think you have to be a parent. When you have a loved one who is sick, I mean, at that point, all the other things that seemed important lose their importance, do they not? I mean, our schedules get cleared to go to the hospital or the doctors or whatever we have to do. We rearrange priorities. We're all about caring for that person who is sick and doing anything we can to help with their healing and their comfort. We're about prayer. We're about getting on the internet and researching all the possibilities. You just name it. You put yourself there. You know what you're doing. Well, Jairus is that same place, but he doesn't have the internet, and he doesn't have Vanderbilt Medical Center or Middle Tennessee Medical Center or whatever that hospital might be. And his place is, here is this man Jesus who is healing the sick. And I'm not going to worry about what it does to me economically. I'm not going to worry about what it does to me socially. I'm not going to worry about what it does within my religious group. I'm going to Jesus because he can do for me the most important thing, and that is heal my dying daughter. Now, the point I want to make from this, it's not about healing, although it's a great one. We could talk about that. But the point is, what brings us to Jesus and what distracts us from our service to Jesus and our faith in Jesus and our coming to Jesus with our whole being? Because Paul will talk about throw off those things that encumber us, right? And the sin that so easily entangles, and run the race. Jairus is running the race to Jesus because he has thrown off everything else, because the healing of his daughter is that important to him. What about the saving of our souls? What about living eternally? About this not being all there is, but the great hope of not only living forever, because we have a fear of death. I think all of us do. There's an apprehension toward it. Even those of greatest of faith, there's an apprehension about the unknown. But to know what God has prepared is beyond what we can know or even imagine in its goodness and its perfection and what God has prepared. And after that, what else really should matter? And not only should we be selfish about our own salvation, which should be of foremost for us, but what about the salvation of others? Knowing the great detriment of not being children of God and the eternal punishment that awaits for those who are not in the kingdom, who are not about faith in Jesus and not about the will of the Father. What else matters? What else comes close to that? It's a question you have to answer for yourself. But for me, when I think about that, nothing else matters. What profit is there? Where is the gain if a man were to attain the whole world and lose his own soul? The thing of greatest value. Jesus tells about a man who found a treasure in a field, and he sold everything that he had to buy the field because the treasure was of such great value. If you heard the Shane Co. commercials on the radio, you've got a friend in the diamond business or you got a friend in the jewelry business, if I ask him to, Houston could tell you exactly where they're located. He can do the whole little closing spot to shaneco.com. But he always talks about going and buying directly the most value, going to Bangkok and all those places and buying the best jewels, not going through the middleman and all that. Well, here's a man who was a pearl trader, and he found this pearl of such great value. It was the most valuable of pearls that he sold everything else to attain that pearl of great price. That's what Jesus calls us when we find out the great value in being children of God and in the Lordship of Jesus, that nothing else should matter. And that's where Jairus is. Not so much in the Lordship of Jesus, but at that point in time, his daughter and her well-being was of the utmost importance. And so I want each of us to think, what draws us to Jesus or what keeps us from coming to Jesus absolutely unhindered, unimpaired? Because Jairus comes unhindered and unimpaired. He comes in the daytime. He bows before Jesus. He doesn't care who knows. He doesn't care who sees. He doesn't care what else is going on, because he knows Jesus has the answer for the problem that's plaguing him. And so for us, do we come to Jesus and come on our knees, humbling ourselves and honoring him as Lord and Christ, as the anointed one? Do we come throwing off everything else, saying, I am going to come and dedicate myself to you and surrender to your lordship and humble you, because you have the only thing of value, the only thing that matters? Unless you love mother and father less than me, you are not worthy of me. Jesus is not saying we shouldn't love our families. God knows we're going to love our families. Here's the point. We can't love them more than we love God. We can't love anything more than God. We can't let anything inhibit our own ambitions, our own fears, because often we become fearful. If I go out on this limb of faith and practice and profession, how does that impact me and my family, in my community, in my social group, at my workplace? How am I impacted by that? Maybe I don't like it, but I keep my mouth shut because I'm worried about how I'm impacted. Coming to Jesus, knowing that God cares for us, should remove all of our fears, and that's going to be the second point. We should come unencumbered to Jesus, bringing our all, because nothing else is worthy of Christ, right? Nothing else is worthy. I still love the Christmas song, The Little Drummer Boy. One of my favorites. There are several of them. But the thought of The Little Drummer Boy is, I have no gift to bring that's fit to give the King. We have no gift to bring worthy of the God of heaven. All we can bring is our very being and all that we are, and bring it to him. Let nothing else come between us and God, but come dedicated, unencumbered, and wholeheartedly to the foot of a cross and to the Lordship of Jesus. Jairus puts everything else aside because his daughter is dying, and he knows Jesus is the source of life. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, with the words he did not want to hear. Your daughter is dead, they said. they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? Great encouragement from his friends, wasn't it? Great encouragement from his friends. Because what did they not understand? And let's talk about this. Jesus, Jairus had come to Jesus for healing, but the time for healing was past. His daughter had died. They didn't get there in time. It's too late. That's what they said. It's too late. It's too late. Leave the teacher alone. And I bet that the thought was, we'll escort you home. We're here for you. We're going to support you and help you through this time. We're going to be with you as you have to deal with this great loss. And sometimes we feel that way about life, don't we? It's too late. It's too late for God to help me. It's too late for God to help me. I am such a sinner, it's too late. My situation is so great that it's too late. It's too late for our country. It's too late for our community. It's too late for the church. It's too late for my family. It's too late for my loved one. We often think that. They came and said, Jairus, it's too late. Your daughter has died. Don't bother the teacher anymore. What's Jairus' response? And this is a great one. Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the son, ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, don't be afraid, just believe. Don't listen to those who say it is too late. Don't listen to those who say it is over. Don't listen to those who say nothing can be done, the best days are behind. Sadness is here. There's no more health, there's no more prosperity, there's no more peace, there's no more salvation. They have gone too far. Talking about he is Jesus. He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep. And what's their response? What's their response to God? They laughed at him. They laughed at him. It's too late. She is not sick. She's not sleeping. She is dead. We know dead. And she is dead. It's too late, sir. There's nothing that can be done. The situation is too dire. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went into where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. Who was? Mother, father, and the disciples who he carried with him. Peter, James, and John are astonished. The ones who had been with Jesus, but they're still astonished, right? Because the little girl was dead. And now she's walking around. Even those who had been with him had their doubts. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. It's amazing how many times Jesus said, don't go tell anybody. So many times. And for those of us at Milton, he told her to go eat. Just like going to all the world, we take that very literally and appreciate that passage. It's never too late with God. It's never too late with God. We should be people of great hope. We should come to Jesus unencumbered because he is the one who not only can heal our daughter, he's not the one not only who can bring salvation to our souls and all of the struggles of sin, but it's never too late for God to change in our lives, in our church, in our world, to bring about his business. If we'll come to him in faith, Jesus makes all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. God can do exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we can even know or ask. Jairus came to Jesus. Wasn't afraid of what was going to happen. He just followed Jesus. That's what Jesus has called us to. Don't be afraid of what's going to happen, what your family's going to say, what your friends are going to say, what's going to happen to you in your community, your workplace. Follow Jesus. Walk in His steps. And know that no matter how things are going around us, either very close to us or those things that are around us that affect us on a larger stage, that God always is in control. These people of prayer and faith and commitment and obedience. We know that God is there to still the waters, still the winds. That God provides for and cares for His people, and that it is never too late, nor is there anything beyond the power of God. Jairus humbled himself before God, and God answered his prayer beyond what he even knew was possible. All of us come humbly to the throne of God, knowing that He will bless us and care for us in ways beyond what we can imagine. Let us never lose hope, but hold to the ever unchanging hand of God. If you need to come, do that while we stand and sing.